Hello, and welcome to Trails Podcast, our show about all things Salesforce. Trails Podcast is brought to you by Hoote, Salesforce DevOps platform for game-based development. Learn more about Hoote by going to our website, hoote.io.
Please help us welcome today's guest, esteemed Salesforce DevOps engineer, Julian Joseph.
Following a sequence of, I think, 9 interviews with Salesforce ISV founders, we are changing our focus today. I'm thrilled to welcome Julian Joseph, a Salesforce DevOps expert. Julian's expansive experience spans from working as a Salesforce admin at a nonprofit to working at Salesforce and to engaging in Salesforce DevOps at both ISV and corporate. Thank you very much for taking the time and joining the Hoote Trails podcast. Please give us a brief overview of how you first got in touch with the Salesforce ecosystem and how your career evolved from there.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me. So as you mentioned, I started off in the nonprofit side Salesforce work at a nonprofit as an intern, actually. And so I was just asked to learn Salesforce by the VP at the time. And so had that whole accidental admin route, just really, it was before actually Trailhead existed. So a lot of just looking at help articles and trying to parse together what Salesforce even was at the time. But that led me into learning about MPSP, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, managed package in terms of customers created by the community and now taken in-house at Salesforce itself. And so that set of packages, I got familiar with installing them and getting them up and running at the nonprofit I was at. Eventually, from there, transitioned into a job here in San Diego, where I'm now based, working with another company that's in the nonprofit space. I was their first Salesforce-focused support, technical support person. They had a product on AWS, basically based their own app, but an integration with Salesforce. And so I focused on that managed package. Within that company, transitioned from technical support and working with customers into working with the dev team, doing both a mix of testing as well as, I didn't know it at the time, but as a number of DevOps tasks. So building environments, that's right when Scratchworks were brand new. So did that quite a bit. Then from there, transitioned over to Salesforce itself, specifically in their nonprofit division, actually working on MPSP. So kind of moving over to what many people call the mothership and worked a couple of years there, got even more familiar with Salesforce DevOps, worked with what I consider to be probably the best Salesforce DevOps team there is, at least at that time, Jason Lance and this team that built tools like Chemo CI and some other similar tooling, open source tooling in the space. From there, moved to another ISV, was there a couple of years, and most recently, I'm now a Salesforce customer for the first time.
You mentioned an interesting aspect that I wasn't aware of. So NPSP didn't start at the mothership, but was a community project that then got in-housed kind of with Salesforce.org. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's my understanding. This is all way before even I started using NPSP. But yeah, my understanding is from some people in the community, if you know Judy Son and some others that are like really invested in the space for a long period of time. I think the story goes that, yeah, it was a community project, open source, and then it was brought into Salesforce.org, which was actually under the Salesforce Foundation, which was Salesforce basically nonprofit that they were funding and supporting their commitment to the community. And then later Salesforce.com purchased Salesforce.org. That's actually right when I joined. And so eventually it made its way into Salesforce, the company, that set of products. But yeah, started off in the community, yeah, completely open source and run that way.
And it's probably one of the packages with the largest subscriber base, I could imagine. I think, I'm not sure if I captured it correctly, but there had been about 30,000 subscriber orgs to that package. So I can imagine that it raised quite some challenges to a DevOps process, even if we didn't call it DevOps back then. And really pushed the tooling probably that Salesforce also came up with, but also Cumulus CI, which you mentioned. to bring in proper practices around packaging and distribution.
Certainly, yeah. I think Kubo CI itself was born out of the need to scale a lot of these issues that were maybe being done with small one-off bash scripts or just, you know, some smaller processes or a lot were being done manually. But once you hit that scale, that size, you need to figure out a better way to distribute the package, to update it, especially if you have multiple teams. It's actually a set of multiple packages, dependencies, things like that.
So how did you see, in the big picture, the Salesforce DevOps ecosystem evolve over those years, the past years until now?
A lot of my experience, I will say, it does come from that ISV side of DevOps, which is, I always describe it as a niche within a niche within a niche, because Salesforce itself just has its own flavor of DevOps. From, if you just say like, oh, I'm a DevOps engineer, I always have to caveat, no, I'm a Salesforce DevOps engineer that has its own focus. And then being a little bit more focused on the ISV side, just because of the nature of the companies that I've worked for and the kind of products I've worked with, that's even its own kind of subset. But yeah, in terms of how it's changed, I feel like I've been able to benefit from being more on the end user side of DevOps, even though I've also been developing some of these automations. And so basically a lot of the tasks that were manual early on, I think we've gotten to a place where they can be automated. And so whether that's creating an environment with, for example, Scratch orgs, or even using the CLI to create sandboxes as well, just being able to create a environment in some sort of programmatic way that used to not be possible, it is possible today. That's like, I'd say that was a pretty huge achievement. And then of course getting deeper into metadata configuration, data configuration, while these processes were, I'd say, semi-automated or partially automated, and I'd say just about any process that you want to do can be automated in some way today. That being said, I think there's still a long way to go to actually being able to practically automate everything. Just because you can't do it doesn't mean it's easy to do, doesn't mean it's reasonable to do. For example, there are still some things that can be done programmatically that I've personally built UI automations to do. So literally using the browser to click around and do some of the same things just because it made more sense that way, or I found a gotcha, something that was missed in the, let's say, the API spec. And so we've come a long way in terms of having the capabilities to simplify things and like, and actually create a full end-to-end development flow. But there's still a long way to go to actually wanting to do that in every situation and being able to, you know, have enough resources to be able to do it.
So with Git being somehow de facto at the core of most DevOps processes, I'd be curious, how do you see the, let's say, penetration of Git-based development in the Salesforce ecosystem? So we know to date many teams are still relying on change sets for their deployment, Salesforce change sets, or tooling to do org-to-org deployments, whereas I think there is a growing consensus from my perspective or movement towards adopting a good practice that is, let's say, the gold standard on most other software development stacks, basically maintaining code, but also configuration, so metadata in the case of Salesforce, under version control. So what is your impression and what would be your outlook? Do you think that in, let's say, 3 years from now, we'll still see many teams deploying org-to-org, or will Git-based development become the mainstream and standard in the Salesforce world?
I'd still make the distinction, I'll say, first of all, between like that partner community, let's say, of ISV development, OEM development, you could say, versus customer. Definitely on the ISV side, my impression is that a good portion, at least of, I'd say, like mid-sized to larger ISVs are doing Git-based development to some degree, if not completely. I'm sure many would say they want to like have a better branching strategy, use Scratch orgs more, things like that. But at least the idea of like using version control as your source of truth, I see that as being pretty common. On the customer side, I would say less so. And I think one of the biggest reasons for that is the reliance on sandboxes and the importance of sandboxes. and how difficult it is to basically replicate your production environment without wanting to resort to the relatively easy way of creating a sandbox and getting all that metadata, all that configuration, and just making modifications on top of it. I think really until we get away from that as being the base process in terms of like creating your next environment, distributing it, we are not going to see a huge shift. That being said, I think the mindset is there from my experience. Like a lot of teams really do want to make the change, and they probably are using Git quite extensively in terms of like their branch management, and then figuring out some way of sometimes deploying that to sandboxes when they can. And sometimes maybe it's even just like doing something like creating a data set, or just even having the instructions on how to do something, or a bash script and locating that in your version control. And so I think that idea of moving away from org to org deployment, of moving towards deploying from version control, I think many teams want to make that shift, and they've begun to, at least in small ways, but we're still, many of them I think are also hamstrung by the fact that it is just so much easier to create a sandbox when you're on a time crunch, and that's the way you've been doing it, and that's the way that everybody's been trained to do it. You're going to always resort to that when you have that ability, and it's going to be a barrier to actually making that switch.
Yeah, I fully agree.
Don't miss the following Trails podcast episodes and articles. Subscribe to our newsletter at huta.io/trails.
We have already touched upon one very interesting and mature open source framework, that is Cumulus CI, and that even evolved further with Jason Lance implementing very interesting stuff around and on top with his D2X initiative, which I perceive as very much ISV, let's say packaging focus. But there are others like DX at Scale, Flexible, and also SFDX Hardys, I think has evolved from a, let's say, Swiss Army knife of tools to a kind of a complete offering for maintaining a development lifecycle. I think that's quite interesting. And my perception is that on recent Salesforce events, being it official events or let's say those community-driven events, the Dreaming and other conferences, I feel that there is quite a positive dynamic in the Salesforce open source landscape. Do you share that impression? And did you have touch points with any of those toolings beyond, let's say, your hands-on work on Cumulus CI at Salesforce?
Yeah, I mean, I see the open source landscape for Salesforce DevOps is being extremely encouraging. I mean, besides just the tools themselves, I think the community, there's a handful of people, and it feels like that group is always growing, that I just see constantly encouraging each other, whether it's creating things like the Salesforce DevOps Manifesto, or, you know, encouraging conversations on LinkedIn, or actually creating tools like Cumulus CI and Flexible and some of these other ones. I'll say personally for me, I've mostly use Cumulus CI, and I've seen some of these other tools. I like to read the documentation to get ideas. And I think each one has like their sweet spot. I'm thinking about some that focus and have like the ability to do pooling, and then others that kind of like allow you to bring in custom bash scripts and things like that a lot easier versus like having it be a little bit more prescriptive in terms of like these set of tasks or these set of flows that you already have. And so I see a lot of value, at least in like seeing what each one is doing. And I imagine, I think there are ways to use them interchangeably. Something that I have, I'd say personally, experienced a lot more when it comes to open source development with Salesforce and seeing a lot of progress is actually using GitHub Actions to use some of the, again, either like maybe existing scripts that are out there, or even people who have created their own GitHub Actions. And so GitHub Actions, for those who aren't familiar, is basically small, I think of them as just like runners. It's not really a runner in and of itself, but it's used within a runner. But it's basically a small little action or step, could be actually pretty large, that you can incorporate in your own deployment and your own GitHub action to run something like a modification of environment or creating a Salesforce environment, something like that. And so, for example, one I've used quite a bit is SGD. I don't think it's actually an action itself. It's a plugin for SFDX, but I think it stands for Sales SFDX Git Diff. So that, for example, like looks at two different commits, or I think you can do branches or commits, things like that, but looks for changes between, you know, this commit and the next commit, let's say. And specifically, it looks for things to deploy and or even delete or update, modify. And so that's just an open source tool that I'd wanted for a long time. And I've like kind of built on my own and figured out ways. And then it was actually a dev who brought to my attention at a previous company I was at that, oh, this exists. I found this. Like, let's just add this in. And so once I saw that, I personally started to look for a lot more actions and a lot more plugins and things like that, and found that there are quite a few out there. Even ones that are not even Salesforce specific, like let's say like a Slack notification to let you know that a job is done and to link different information. There's quite a bit out there, either Salesforce specific or not, that allows you to really, I think, elevate your builds. And then when you pair it with a tool like Yumo CI or Artist or even some of the big players that make their own tools out there, if you can find ways to integrate them all together, you can have a pretty powerful setup, and you can get a lot closer to that, I'd say, ideal of having everything automated in a practical way.
Yeah, I fully agree. So the plugin you mentioned, it's also used in our product. And also another one that is probably worth mentioning is SFDMU, the data migration utility, which is also very popular. And also I think both the GitDiff and the SFDMU are then reused by the larger frameworks, partly that we mentioned earlier, because they are just great in addressing a single use case, which everyone will be sooner or later confronted with when building automation for Salesforce. You have already explained the Git diff use case, and SFDMU does a great job in doing data deployments, be it for seed data, be it for data record-based configuration, which we see in some Salesforce products. So definitely worth checking out. Right. So speaking of community and open source leads me to my last question. I'd like to talk about the Git Together training, which you have done. So I got to know you as someone who is very open to share your knowledge and help others in their DevOps journey. So can you tell us a bit about your activities and also what drives you behind, being open with sharing your knowledge and helping others on their journey?
In terms of what drives me, it's definitely the input and the resources that other people have put into me along the way. And so I mentioned my journey starting off in the nonprofit as an intern and kind of make my way step by step. With each of those new roles that I was taking on, new responsibilities, there was somebody teaching me along the way and like sharing knowledge, often free of charge and often out of their own time. Actually, one funny story is somebody, a consultant that nonprofit I was working at, who was supporting me a lot just in my first year of learning Salesforce. About 4 years later, I realized that I'd been working with them for the last year at my next company, and it never clicked to me that it was the same person. But I was like, wait, you taught me what objects were and tables and things like, and all of this foundational things. And somehow the name, it just never clicked until one day we were working together. He was a dev I was working with. It's like, hey, I think you were there at that same time. And so I've just been fortunate enough through those people, or through even just a lot of like open source interactions with chatting with people on issues or on forums, and just seeing that people give their time so readily, that I've wanted to do the same whenever I can. And one of those ways has been this class or course. It's a one-time thing for now. I might run it again in the future, but there's something between me and a few other Salesforce friends that I've gained over the years through different meetups and things like that, called a Git Together. The focus was really on this idea that a lot of them had Salesforce knowledge, but were somewhat limited or new to Git and GitHub, and just understanding even how like actions worked or how DevOps tools worked. And thanks for your support with Hute, because we were able to use that as just like a really easy way to onboard people to their first experience with Salesforce DevOps. And yeah, it was born out of wanting to share some of that same knowledge, but this realization, I think, as well, that in the companies I was working for, this idea of Salesforce DevOps and this idea of either whether it's environment management or learning how to create your own data or move around metadata, I was seeing that most of the time, the most valuable thing I was doing wasn't actually creating the automation to automate that for people, but it was actually teaching people how to do that for themselves. Because really, the way it works today is I can create an automation, but tomorrow you're going to need something new in that automation. You're going to need to modify a different way. You're going to find a bug. You're going to create a whole new feature that needs a whole new data set or a whole new way of deploying that data set. And so the most value I was giving to companies and to people was actually teaching them how to do that for themselves, whether it was through a GitHub action and learning a bit of Git, or learning to use a tool like Qt and make the same kind of modifications. And I really wanted to test it out also with some friends who were kind of distributed at a group of companies and see if I could empower them to like do a little task at their company and maybe grow that into something bigger. I will say it's not completely selfless. Like with anything in the industry, it's always nice to for those people to think of you down the line and maybe hire you for a contract role or pass that along. But yeah, my request was always at the very least pass this along to somebody else down the line. Like if I'm helping you here, pass it along, like give some free information to them, whether it's the same information or something else, some skill that you're bringing to the table.
Great. Excellent. So thank you very much. It was great talking to you. Thank you for your contributions to the community. And yeah, looking forward to stay in touch and to touch base again.
Same here. Thanks so much. Great talking.
Trails Podcast is brought to you by Qt, Salesforce DevOps platform for Git-based development. You can learn more about Qt by going to our website, qt.io.